the Lord. A couple of announcements to make. Next weekend, time changes. So time's going to fall back an hour. So be sure and set your clock Saturday night, or you will show up at church and nobody's going to be here. And you'll be wondering what's going on. And the other is next Sunday is mine and Mina's 40th anniversary. And so we're going to be taking a trip. We're going to be gone for the next couple of weekends. And Brother Corey texts me in the back and said him and Crystal are still sick. They'd been sick with the flu. And so want to remember them in prayer. Brother Anthony's grandfather passed away this past week. And so him and Leah is going to be traveling. She's going to be leaving after service today, so we're going to remember them in prayer. And comfort, God comfort the family. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we're first of all remembering Brother Corey and Sister Crystal, Lord, that they've been sick, Lord. They need a touch from you. I ask, God, that you will go to them, Father, send the angels of healing there, dear God, to bring healing to them, God. Father, for you are the Lord, our God, that heals all of our diseases. By your stripes we were healed, Lord. I pray for Brother Anthony, Sister Leah, Lord, that you'll be with them, Father, as they travel, and comfort Brother Anthony and his family, dear God. And we ask, God, that you would just go with them, Lord. And Father, be a light, Lord, wherever they go. Lord, I ask now for the service, Lord, that you would just guide us through the scripture this morning, dear God, in this message that you've laid on our heart, dear God, and we give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn me to Psalms 46. I got one more message here, I guess, on He's My Refuge. So, Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Amen. You may be seated. This past week, I just got to thinking about some things. And I was thinking about the message, what we've been preaching on. And then I got to thinking about a safe place. And got me to thinking on what the world today looks at as what they call their safe places. And the world's definition of a safe place is where you can feel comfortable expressing your wants, needs, desires, opinions, and views without opposition or feeling judged. I added the without opposition in there because they didn't have that in there. I added that part because it seems like if they have any opposition to what they're doing, what they're saying, or what they're wearing, then they feel like they're being judged. You can't have a different opinion than them. The world has got to a place to where they want everybody to be of their opinion. And if you're not, then you're wrong. There can't be two opinions. You can't have a different opinion than them. You can't have a different opinion than them on homosexuality. You can't have a different opinion on them on the way their women dress. Because if you do, then you're body shaming. And they should have a place where they can feel safe to wear or not wear any parts or bits of clothing that they don't want to wear, and show any of their body they want to show, and there shouldn't be nothing said about it. They look to places of social media today, and there's so many different ones, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all these different ones, and I don't even know all of them. And they ought to be able to post whatever they want on there, whatever pictures they want, dressed however they want, post whatever their opinions are, and nobody should say anything against it, because if you do, you're judging them. If your opinion's different than them, you're judging them. And, you know, it's got to where anymore, the whole thing about race and everything else is, it just got out of hand. And, you know, I read in the paper, or not the paper, but on the news feed on my phone. Well, I don't get a paper anymore. I used to. But anyway, I read in the news feed on my phone where there were several universities in different states that had put out announcements for this upcoming Halloween, that they didn't want any of their students to dress in a way that was, what's the word, appropriating somebody else's culture. You know, and there were some students there actually were in actual disagreement, believe it or not, with the universities. One Asian student spoke up and said, "Doesn't bother me when people dress up in things that refers to Asians." He says, "Lets me know they know there's Asians out here," and you know, and different things. But they, you know, don't dress up in anything that you know, that's not according to your culture. And I gotta say, it's not aimed at the black people. This announcement was not aimed at the Asians. This announcement was not aimed at the original Americans. I forget the term they use now. It was aimed at the white people. You know, and you know, and I'm not trying to, I know that the way I'm coming off, some people would call me racist. I'm not racist. I am a born-again believer. I am a born-again Christian. And as a Christian, I don't see color. I don't see race. I travel around the world. I preach in different countries. As a matter of fact, I'd rather be preaching in another country than preaching here in this country. I love it over in these other countries. I love the people. I love being around them. I love preaching. I love the way that they pull on you when you're preaching, the way they pull on the word and the hunger that they have. And you know, and I know they have their problems and the devil's there just like he is here. And I don't pastor there. And that, I guess that's one of the reasons I like preaching there. It's different when you preach where you pastor. And, you know, you can make people uncomfortable by saying things when you're preaching in other places, and you have no idea. But when you're a pastor, especially a pastor of a small group, you know certain things are going to make certain people feel uncomfortable, and you got to say them anyhow. And but oh, you know, in other places, you can just let it fly, you know, and not worry about it. And you know, and believe it or not, you don't know them, and so they take it in stride. And now I don't know how they do with their own pastors. I imagine their pastors same as pastoring here. But you know, thinking again, going back to this about a safe place, I have to thinking about us, you know. And I thought, you know, in the terms or terms of the world, the way they look at it, and you would think that church should be a safe place for us.
church to be a place where you should be able to express yourself, you know, in a Christian way. Church should be a place where you should be able to clap your hands and worship and praise the Lord. It ought to be a place where you can holler out, amen, and nobody look at you funny. It ought to be a place where you'd feel safe to scream and somebody not worry about somebody saying they got a devil on them. But it's not. It's not a safe place. It's not a place where you can scream and not worry about somebody coming in saying, I think that's an evil spirit on them. It's not a place where you can do all these things and not worry about being criticized. You're going to get criticized. You're going to get made fun of. You're going to get talked about. Jesus said you would. He said your name would be cast out as evil. He said lies are going to be told on you. Yes, sir. And friends, we expect the lies to be told on us from without. Right. But people that come in here and people that come to visit and things like that, we kind of expect them not to lie on us. But it's going to happen. I refer to it quite often. But when Brother Branham began to preach the message Christ and Mr. God Revealed, he gave a little message to the church there in Jeffersonville, and he was saying, you're a sweet little group now. You remember me saying that, and I ought to remind you of the quote. You're a sweet little group now, but Satan's not going to let you stay that way. And he said, if he has to, he'll send somebody in among you and fill them full of poison. That's happened. In our past, it's happened with visitors. It's happened with people that came and said they were going to make this their home church. And then because their sin became exposed, they had to leave. But they couldn't leave and say, well, I'm leaving because my sin got exposed. They had to point at people in the church and say, because of them, because of them, because of them. I wish people would just be honest. I'm leaving because I want to live a different way than the way you're preaching. I'm leaving because I want to wear pants. I'm leaving because I want to cut my hair. I'm leaving because I want to do this or that. Why don't they just be honest about it? Well, they're human. And humans like to justify themselves. And the only way they can justify themselves is like in the way of the world today, they don't take responsibility for themselves. They lay it off on somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault. Ooh. You like to feel safe at home. But then you got to worry about who you invite over. Because depending on by who you invite over, what they might say. So there's only one safe place. And that's in Jesus Christ. And if you're in Jesus Christ, then you don't got to worry about whether you're home or whether you're in church or wherever you are. You can be yourself. You can let the Holy Spirit express itself through you, and don't worry about the criticism. It's going to be there. You can't do anything about it. You can't stop it. You can't correct it. You can't get rid of it. Jesus said the only thing you can do about it is get happy about it. Because he said, so did their fathers to the prophets. In other words, identifying who you are. If you're being talked evil about, that just shows you are a Christian. If you're being spoke evil of, your name cast out as evil, lies being told on you, it just shows who you are. It shows what side you're on. It shows you're on the winning side. It shows you're on the side with Jesus, because his name was cast out as evil. He was talked bad about. And he said, if they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, what about the servants? Hallelujah. Let's read in the message of letting off the pressure. I've been looking at that message a lot lately. Brother Branham said he met a woman out at the 10-cent store and said she was 60 years old but didn't look 30. Now, first time I ever heard this, I was probably in my 30s and thought 60 was old. But next, in December, I turned 60, so 60's not old no more. You're as old as you feel. Sometimes I feel older than 60, but in my up in here, I don't. I might look out and see a different fella in the mirror, but in my mind, I don't look that way. I look like I did when I was 20. Lydia Rose showed her daughter, saw a picture of me and Mina at our wedding, and she said, what's Uncle Nate doing in that picture? He said, that's not Uncle Nate, that's your papaw. Oh my. Anyway, Brother Branham said he asked his sister how in the world she could be 60 and not look older than 30. And she said, well, she said, Brother Branham, I got two sons that are doctors that's older than you. And she said, here's what it was. Said, when I come to Christ, I was about 12 years old. And I sat down and thought about it and studied other religions. And when I found the true one, I come to Christ and I took my case, my soul, my all to him. And I've never had a worry since. Now he promised to take care of all my troubles. And if he's not big enough to do it, I know I'm not big enough to do it. So what's the use of me worrying about it? Brother Bam said, see, that's it. Christ promised he'd take all your cares, so cast your cares on him, the Bible said. So what are you worried about? Worry builds up pressure, and pressure blows up. So cast your cares on him and quit worrying, all right? We worry too much. The more something seems out of our control, the more worried we get. That ought to be the less worried you get. You ought to be worried when it looks like you're the one in control. I saw a cup at Cracker Barrel the other day, and it said I had a handle on life, but it broke off. When you think you got a handle on life, that's the time to be worried. Because you ain't. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been around. I don't care how many roads you've walked down. You still ain't got it in control. You're here by the grace of God. And it's God that's kept you. It's God that's watched out over you. It's God that has provided for you. You don't provide for yourself. You say, well, I do. I got a job. Who gave you the job? Who gives you the strength to get up in the morning and go into work? Who gives you the peace of mind to be able to deal with the day-to-day stress of the job? Amen. It all comes back to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christ promised he'd take all your cares, so cast all your cares on him. Brother Ramsey, will you say, how do I do that? He said, what about when death comes? Somebody said, oh, when I know it's my time to die, I'm going to be so nervous. He said, no, you won't. Not if you're in the refuge. Not if you're in the safe place. The safe place is Christ. Then you're not afraid of death, because you know that death is only going to take you into the presence of God. Brother Bram said, you got to die somehow. You got to die from something. It's in letting off the pressure if you want to listen to the message. He said, you got to die somehow. So just get in the refuge and feel safe. Hallelujah. You're safe as long as you're in the refuge. Remember, he died for you. He cares for you. Brother Branham, you mean when death angel is knocking on the door, you still don't get steamed up? Not a bit. Well, how do you do that? He said, well, now, let's just take Israel for an example when they were down in Egypt. And it come a time when God said, I'm going to send the death angel through the land, and I'm going to take all of the firstborns from humans down through even the animals. And the only escape from it is to come in under the blood. Kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So here's Israel in the night of the Passover. And the death angel is passing through all of Egypt and Goshen. And says they hear a noise out. Maybe somebody looks out the window and sees two black wings going by. It's the death angel. And said, one little boy says to his daddy, Daddy, ain't I your firstborn? Yes, son, you are. So, but Daddy, it said the death angel's going to take the firstborn. He took a little boy down the street. Is he going to take me? He said, no, son. Look at the doorpost. There's blood on it. Hallelujah. He's not going to take you because you've come inside the refuge. You're in a safe place because you've got the blood on the... Friends, I'm going to tell you something. The blood's been applied. I don't care what kind of sin that you come from. I don't care what kind of sin you have committed. I don't care what the devil has done before in your life. You've got the blood on you on the doorpost now. You got the blood... Hallelujah, it's been applied on this body. It's been applied on your soul. The token is on display. Hallelujah. And all that was in the, under the token was safe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Looking real quick. Didn't want to get ahead of myself. I get carried away. I want to just run through it. He said... Remembering the time if somebody would accidentally in the Bible kill somebody. They didn't mean to do it. But there'd be family members that wanted to react revenge. They don't care whether you meant it or not. They must have been Southerners. And they want to react revenge because you killed somebody in their family. And so you would run to a city of refuge. And they'd be on your heels. They'd be chasing you. They'd be running you down. If they caught you, Brother Bam said they'd slice you to pieces. But once you get into the place of safety, the city of refuge, said then you can let off the pressure. Because the guard at the gate will stop the slayers before they can get in. Because now you're made safe to the tower of refuge. Then when you're in there, you can feel safe and let off the pressure. They were ready to get me, but I'm safe now, he said. What a place to find a refuge, a place of safety. Outside he'd die, but in there he's all right. So God made us a tower of refuge. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Not they'll not be hunted anymore, but they're safe. God provided a safety place. The enemy can't catch you, for you're safe in Christ. Brother Branham was talking in one message about somebody had given him a Weatherby rifle. And they had bore it out, converted it. But they didn't make the headspace big enough. And so when Brother Branham went, he was out target shooting. And when he went to fire this rifle, I said it blew up in his face. So metal shards went into his face and his skull. Said it formed a half moon around his eye. But not one piece of metal went into his eye. And he said the barrel went 50 feet off in front of him, and the stock went about 50 some feet behind him, and metal tearing up bushes and brush and everything else. He said, but I was still alive. He said, it should have took my head off. It should have killed me. He said, but God spared me. I was safe. Not in a place, but in Christ. With a rifle blowing up right in his face. But it didn't kill him. He said, it was only God that let me live, that's all. It's a wonder it didn't take my head off. Said it went through, it went into my skull, went through my lips, knocked a tooth out. The only thing I know, the good Lord must have been sitting there, wasn't ready for his servant to go yet. Looked like Satan was sure trying hard. But you know, I'm so glad he is our safety zone. The place where we can come and feel safe. It's a place where you can come and feel safe. It doesn't have an address. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual place. Because friends, I'm going to tell you something. A place that has an address can't stop evil spirits from coming and tormenting you. One night after I had first came here, I was staying over in Charlotte at Brother Fields. And I had preached some messages. And I guess the devil didn't like it. And I believe the prince of Dixon came to torment me that night. evil spirits came. Fear just gripped me like a cold hand all over. And I got down and I prayed. And I was praying all night, fighting them demons. And by the time morning light came, we had won a victory. But it wasn't because of me. It was because I was in a safe place. Not Brother Phil's house, but in Christ. I was in a safe place. God had sent me. I didn't come here on my own. God sent me. So God was backing me up. So I had some angels on my side. Hallelujah. The angels are encamped round about those that fear the Lord. Hallelujah. We're fighting spiritual warfare. An address can't protect you. Social media can't protect you. Your political views can't protect you. You know how political views are. Everybody's got some. The way the world sees it, as long as yours don't disagree with theirs, you're all right. But if it does, something's wrong with you. Well, my politics, I vote for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Believe it or not, when President Obama was in office, I prayed for him. You know why? Because the Bible said you should. The Bible said pray for your leaders. Hallelujah. Pray God helps them stay awake and not say the wrong thing. Hallelujah. He said, there's a great safety zone where all the devil's darts are passed away by our shield of faith. To know that we're standing in that safety zone, anchored in Christ, safe as you can be in there. Not even death itself can harm us. We're already dead. Our lives are hid in God through Christ, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? The message of the token, he said, we're not come together to talk about the message. We've come together to get in the message. And the message is Christ. He is the Word. We're to get into it, get beneath it. That's what we're supposed to do. He's not responsible for any persons out from under the blood. Not one, no matter who he is. He's not responsible. All had to take not only himself, but his whole family in under the token. They're only safe when the token was displayed. We cannot feel safe until the token is displayed. You must come under the token, God's Holy Spirit. And it displays in you, Jesus Christ, because he comes and lives in you. So you got Jesus on display. Brother Branham goes on to talk about, to further explain this, he said, if I had the spirit of Shakespeare in me, I would be displaying things of Shakespeare. I'd be writing plays and things. He said, if I had the spirit of Beethoven in me, then I would play music. I would write music. He said, if I had the spirit of John Dillinger in me, I'd rub banks. But I got the spirit of Christ in me. I got the spirit of Jesus. Jesus himself lives inside me. So his life, not my life, not your life, but his life is what's on display. Hallelujah. You become identified with him. If Christ's life's in you, then the works of Christ is in you. Sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. You're not responsible for anybody. The whole family must be brought in. The token must be displayed. It had to be. If it wasn't displayed, then it was a none effect. You could believe in it. You could say, oh yes, I believe it. But that didn't do it. You had to have it on display. You had to put it in a bucket and put it over the doorpost. You can't be a secret boy about it. You got to have it. You got to have it on display. That was the purpose of putting it on the doors, was so he could see it on the lintel and on the doorpost. It's something you're not ashamed of. You want the whole world to know you're dead and your life hid in Christ through, in God through Christ. Remember when Joshua and Israel were coming into the land, and they come up to Jericho, a great walled city, a city that no one could overtake. But God said it belonged to his children. And he sent two spies out. And there was a woman in there who was a harlot by the name of Rahab. And she had heard of Israel. She had heard of Joshua. And she told those two spies, she said, I've heard of them and I believe. And I believe that God's going to give you this city. But when you come, can you remember me? And she hid the spies. And then she let them down by a scarlet cord. And they said, you have this scarlet cord hanging out your window on display. And when we come to take the city, anyone that sees that scarlet cord, they'll pass on by your house. Amen. Brother Branham said, she couldn't pull the cord in after they left and say, well, now I'll just hide this cord. I won't let nobody see it. I'm going to wait until they come. Said, no, she had to leave it on display. Somebody could walk by in the city of Jericho and say, why do you got that cord hanging out of the window? That's crazy. Crazy woman. But her whole family had to be in there. And they couldn't be, well, I'm going to be over yonder. You have the cord over here. I'm going to be out in the world. You have the token, Daddy. You have the token, Mama. I'm going to be out in the world. But when he comes, I'm going to go too, because you love me. Jesus loved the world. So he gave his only begotten son, that all that would believe on him would be saved, but all that would not believe would be damned. So if Jesus' love didn't save the whole world, regardless of how they lived or what they believed, your love's not going to do it. They got to be under the token. That's what the prophet preached. If you don't believe me, go back and listen to the message of the token again. The They had to have that cord on display. You got to have the token on display in your life. Everyone has got to have the Holy Ghost themselves. I can't have the Holy Ghost for you. You can't have the Holy Ghost for me. I can't have the Holy Ghost for my children. My children can't have it for their children. Everybody, when they come of age of accountability, has to get it themselves. Everyone has to have their own experience with God. Without the Holy Ghost, you ain't going. Well, there'll come a time, say, where I can speak for them. I'm going to tell you what. If you don't believe the things I've preached to you, you wait till the day of judgment and you're going to find out that they were right. I am willing to stake my eternal destination on what I've preached. I believe it. I live by it. I don't come here to preach you my opinions. I come to preach you the end time message that was brought to us by a prophet. I only have to say what he said. And he said, say what I said. He didn't say play what I said. He said say what I said. I still believe in preachers. Preachers of the gospel. Amen. My. Do you got it on display? Now see, Brother Branham, when he preached the message of the token, gave that time, everybody had to be in under it. And there's people that take it to a degree of, well, I can apply it to my household. And Brother Ram did preach about applying it to your household. Not in literal sense of blood, but applying the Holy Ghost to your house. In other words, your family that are not come to the age of accountability, you're applying the token for them. But when they come of the age of accountability, they've got to have it on display. And what he preached was on display was the life of Christ. That's what's got to be on display in everybody, is the life of Christ. And Christ don't smoke weed. Christ don't do cocaine. Christ don't drink alcohol. That life's got to be on display. Christ don't do drugs. Christ don't run around with 50 other women or men. So what the token is the life of Christ on display in your life. People have asked me, how do I know that I got the Holy Ghost? Is the life of Christ displayed through your life? Brother Brother Ram talked about cleaning out the house. Not only literally, but spiritually. Clean out this house. Now you're going to always have a battle of the mind. Satan's going to bring evil thoughts and run them through your head. I don't care who you are. Brother Branham was talking about one time he had a prayer line. People was coming up in the prayer line, and there was a brother that was standing there helping pray for people in the prayer line, and all of a sudden he moved back away from the prayer line. And later Brother Branham talked to him and said, "Brother, why did you move back?" He said, "Brother, the awfulest thought went through my head." And he said, "I'm sorry, brother. That was meant for me. And you just got in the way." Do you mean awful thoughts had run through the prophet's head? Yeah, because he's human just like you. And that's why I preached the message, the greatest battle ever fought. It's fought in the mind. That was the battleground that Satan chose, the spiritual battleground. And you're human. Tell me that fear ain't never tried to grip you and say, "Oh, rapture took place and you didn't make it." Brother Dan Daisley, I never forget, he told a testimony. He was out with Brother Henry Green. They were traveling together, and he had went in to pay for the gas, and he came out, and he couldn't find Brother Henry. And he was looking around everywhere, and he couldn't find Brother Henry, and he said a thought went through his mind. "It's because the rapture took place, and you missed it." He said, "I said out loud, 'You're a liar, devil. Because if the rapture would have took place, I'd be gone too.'" And he said, "And there come Brother Henry walking from the bathroom." So it happens to everybody at some point in time or other. Don't tell me Satan don't ever come to tell you, you ain't going to make it. You're not one of them. Look what you did. Look what you thought. Look what you said. He's a liar. That's what Jesus said. Said he was a liar and the father of them. Like what Brother Billy Paul said one time. I heard him. He said, "You know how you can tell when the devil's lying? When his mouth's open." Hallelujah. Anytime he says something, he's lying. If the devil's telling you you ain't going to make it, that's a sure thing you are. Because he's a liar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you feel like you're in a place of safety? A safe place. Not an address. Not a building. Not an emotion. Hallelujah. Not social media. Not an opinion. Oh, people are going to judge you for the way you dress, for the way you act, for the things you don't do. Well, I don't want to look like no grandma. You know what the big thing is now? People are posting, "I'm 50 or over 50. And people tell me to dress my age. But I don't have to." So they dress like harlots. That ain't got a thing to do with age. That's got to do with the spirit. Right. That's a demon. Brother Biscoe said one time when his daughters were young women and they would go shopping, he said, I'd always send my wife with them. He said, and I'd pray for them. He goes, you don't realize when you go out places to shop for clothes that there's demons hanging out on them clothes racks, trying to entice people. Well, now they don't got to be hanging out on the clothes racks. They got pictures everywhere. They got billboards everywhere. They got social media everywhere. Now all you got to do to be famous is get a big following on Instagram. Get a million some followers and all of a sudden you're somebody. You know how you get a million some followers? By doing something that's going to attract the followers. I can tell you, I ain't got a thing to attract them. They don't care about what I own. They don't care about my grandchildren. I can't understand why people post everything about their life online. Do you realize once it's out there, it's out there? People post everything they're doing online. You say, what are you talking about? I post stuff online. I had a cousin that was involved with these other boys, and they shot a deer out of season. And he took pictures of it. And he posted online. Guess who got arrested? He said, I didn't shoot the deer. They said, you posted it. You're the one we're getting. People teach their little children how to swear and say all kinds of foul words. Then they post it online. Next thing you know, the sheriff and DCS is knocking on the door taking their child. And they wonder why. Because they're stupid, that's why. That's what I'm talking about posting everything about your life online. I had a cousin that took a picture of himself sitting on the toilet and posted it online. His wife was at the sink brushing her teeth the same time he was on the toilet. And he posted online and said, now this is real love. Another one of my cousins got on there and said, you ought to be ashamed. And they got mad at him. If they ever heard this, I'd be in trouble for saying something about it. Post everything. Friends, I don't want somebody knowing about everything that I'm doing. About a year and a half ago, I got a French bulldog. And I was reading that they've become so popular, people are dog napping them because they can get a lot of money for them. And it's happening all over the world, not just in the United States, but over in the UK. They dog napped one that was pregnant with puppies. And by the time that the law got a hold of and got it back, she had done had the puppies. But they recovered her and all the puppies. But somebody was going to make them a ton of money. And the thing I read, it said, don't post your French bulldog online. Because if you do, somebody will know where they're at and they'll come and steal it. But there's people that their pets have their own account. Oh my. And people follow it. What has this world come to? The safe place is have your life hid in Christ. Amen. I don't put my life out there to try to let people judge it. People are going to judge it anyway. You don't got to post it. My, I tell you what, I ain't got a thing in my notes on that. I guess the way we got on was this whole thing to talk about a safe place. And when I was out walking, I thought about some people thinking a safe place was their social media. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a safe place. We've got a place of refuge, a place we can come to. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, you'll take these broken words that come out of this human mouth. Lord, and may, Lord, you put them together to where, Lord, it'll have an eternal meaning in everybody's lives. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, if there's any that's not in Christ, Lord, I pray you'll press on them, press on their heart, Lord, that they need to get into Christ. Say, well, mom and daddy's not. It don't matter. You need to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Before Nate steps up here, I'd like to sing that chorus, I Found a Lily in My Valley. Y'all can play. I just had it on my heart.